Good day, and welcome to today's National Immigration Forum call on the border. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. You will later have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Kathleen Farrell, Director of Communications for the National Immigration Forum.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the National Immigration Forum press call. With the government open again and Congress needing to find a border security compromise by February 15th, we wanted to offer you an opportunity to hear from people who are actually along the border. We're fortunate to have leaders with us today from close to the border in Texas and Arizona. I look forward to hearing their perspectives on life near the border and what kind of border security we need to ensure not only our safety, but also strong trade and economic vitality. A solution for Dreamers and temporary protected status recipients, immigrants who are contributing to our country, is part of the roadmap to a solution for Congress. With us on the call are Sheriff Tony Estrada of Santa Cruz County, Arizona, Carlos Navarro, pastor at West Brownsville Baptist Church in Texas, Mayor Jim Darling of McAllen, Texas, who is also an executive committee member of the Texas Border Coalition, and Judge Eddie Trevino of Cameron County, Texas, Chairman-elect of the Texas Border Coalition. And with that, we'll begin with Pastor Navarro. Please go ahead.
Good morning from Brownsville, Texas. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, the blessing, the honor, and the privilege to be on this occasion to share what's going on here in the border, especially in the city of Brownsville. Let me just go back a little bit. I came here to Brownsville about 25 years ago. I'm a migrant myself. I came to the States 37 years ago and went to San Francisco, where I started my journey here in the United States. But in my call into the ministry, the church where I pastor now called me to be the pastor here in the local church in this city. And in the very beginning, when I came, I discovered that we had two detention centers in the area in Cameron County. And my ministry started to go into those places and visiting people from Cuba and most of the countries from Central America. And I've been doing this for the past 22 years, going to different shelters that we have from different agencies like Southwest Key, IES, and CHS, and talking to young people, children from, especially from Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua. But what happened, it started last year in the month of May and June, we saw a big numbers of people coming from all over, not only from Central America, but I had a chance to talk to people from Bangladesh, from Nepal, from India, from Cuba, Venezuela lately, and Nicaragua. And this is already, to me, in my perception, is just to see that this is a humanitarian crisis. And it's been tough for a church because it looks like we've been the only evangelical church that is doing this in the city of Brownsville. I kind of have the idea that probably the churches don't want to get involved. Probably they're afraid of it. Maybe they don't want to do something that is politically incorrect or compromise themselves. But me as a pastor, as a human being, and as a migrant, I cannot ignore the hundreds of people that are on the other side of the border. Now, we're not only helping people when they're already here in the United States, but we cross the border in Matamoros, and we take them the basic needs like food, like shoes, like toiletries, and medicines. And we discovered that a lot of people eat just once a day, and sometimes almost nothing. That's why the church got the attention. And we started to do something, calling some of my friends, calling some of the pastors in other states, in Dallas and Houston and San Antonio, to help me to provide something for our ministry to be a good help for these people. So this is what's happening. I never imagined that was going to get so hectic, But like I said, it's the evangelical churches are not they're not united. They're not paying attention to it, and we're trying to do our best by ourselves.
Thank you very much, Pastor Navarro. Our next speaker is Sheriff Tony Estrada of Santa Cruz County, Arizona. Please go ahead, Sheriff. Sheriff Estrada? Okay, we're going to move on to Mayor Jim Darling of McAllen, Texas. Mayor, could you please go ahead?
Yes, thank you. I don't know where to start, except maybe I'll start in 2014 when we had the first, what they called the media called the border crisis, when President Obama stated that we were going to have immigration reform, which never happened, but it caused rhetoric to be sent to Central America, and that's when we had all the Central Americans come across. And we've been having them ever since. We've had over 100,000 pass through our respite center here in McAllen. Those are people that are released by ICE, Border Patrol, and Customs and Border Protection to take a bus trip up north. And unfortunately, we have a great bus station that attracts them, and we have to accommodate people that stay hours or sometimes days, usually one overnight, waiting for the bus. And we've dealt with all kinds of health issues, et cetera, relating to that. And it seems like when the rhetoric comes up in Washington, that causes different reactions in Central America, and almost like the reverse of what they would want happen for the numbers that come here. So that's what we've been involved from the standpoint of several factors. One is because we are the central dropping off point for the people seeking asylum from the government, the number one. The McAllen sector on the border for Border Patrol is the number one sector for illegal entry, but 80% of those are asylum seekers, and that's sometimes lost in reports from Washington about what really is illegal entry. And then I think the other thing is we've been in national news relating to the zero tolerance, because the separations happen at our at the border holding point in the city of McAllen. So we've been kind of the recipient of a lot of different things on the border, including owning two international bridges. And I want to say the bottom line for us is it's not always been easy. We are a very vibrant community. Our county is almost 900,000 people, so we're a very urban county. And the impression that the rest of the nation, and mainly the rest of Texas, has is that there is a crisis on the border, and we're a very dangerous location, when in fact we, under last FBI statistics, we're the third safest in Texas and seventh safest in the whole United States as a city. So we've been kind of we've been getting the national spotlight. It hasn't been very pleasant. In fact, probably has hurt our area. And when you couple that with some of the national rhetoric, it's been a real challenge. Lastly, I might say is we're not right on the border. We're 6 miles from the border, although we have bridges on the border. And so we've been involved a lot in the talk of border security. We meet with Border Patrol almost monthly. I was at the President's Border Roundtable a few weeks ago, and I've also been involved with probably 30 or 40 congressmen have been down here, and almost as many senators on both sides of the aisle that come down, and I've seen their viewpoint. Unfortunately, I don't think they take back to Washington what the true situation is on our border from that standpoint. Otherwise, I think one of the things I'm encouraged about is the negotiations, hopefully that will continue, with the president first trying to offer a solution, and also the Texas Border Compact, which is a foundation for negotiations with the local federal officials, Senator Cruz and Senator Cornyn, and our local legislative delegation, along with our Texas Border Coalition membership. And I would appreciate that continuing to try to resolve the issues of both border security and immigration reform, which are mutually inclusive and not mutually exclusive. I think that's what the problem with Washington is. And I would probably introduce my Judge Eddie Trevino from Cameron County to talk more, a little bit more, about the compact.
Thanks very much, Mayor Darling. I understand Sheriff Estrada is still trying to reconnect with us. So in the meantime, we will go right to Judge Eddie Trevino of Cameron County, Texas. So Judge, please go ahead.
All right. Good morning or good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity to speak to you guys. And I want to thank my friend Mayor Darling for setting this up with regards to my comments. He and I, along with many other local elected leaders and business community individuals, have been involved with the Texas Border Coalition for many, many years, working on bipartisan congressional leaders from Texas and across the country to try to find that fine of an agreement that will be effective in helping to enforce and secure the border. What I want to clear up, though, is this misconception or intentional idea that the border, especially here in South Texas, is insecure. And that's part of the problem that we run into. Every time we talk about border security, it implies that the border is insecure. And we want to make sure that we're clear that the border is secure. While there are certainly elements and things that we can do to make it more secure, I want to make sure that everybody's left with the reality that the border, at least where we live, is certainly extremely very secure. And Mayor Darling alluded to some of the verifiable criminal statistics that show just how safe the Rio Grande Valley in South Texas is in particular. I want to quickly address the Texas Border Compact, which is being promoted by our Texas Border Coalition. It starts with the SMART Act, which is a bipartisan piece of legislation by Representatives Will Hurd, Henry Cuellar, Vicente Gonzalez, and several other Republicans and Democrats that require the deployment of the most practical and effective border security technologies to secure the border. One of the most important aspects of this bill is that it depends and insists on consultation with local voices. In other words, the local Border Patrol, our governor, our local elected officials, and property owners to determine exactly what works best to secure the border in our area. This is very different than than the current plan in existence in Washington, which is we're going to build a fence or a wall, and where do you want it? Instead, the legislation asks local leaders, what is it going to help you to secure the border in your neighborhood? And obviously, the whole point of all this is to provide and utilize more efficient choices, including more potential fencing, if necessary, the use of up-to-date technology, more boats on the river, more border guards, more boots on the ground. This obviously, by utilizing up-to-date technology and enhancing boots on the ground, we think will result in better alternatives and a lot less use of wall and or fencing. The smart wall will also obviously include up-to-date technology resources like sensors, radar, LIDAR, fiber optics, drones, and cameras to detect and then track incursions to enable the Border Patrol to intercept illegal crossers. The bill would also require the immediate eradication of the carrizo cane and salt cedar on the banks of the Rio Grande River to give the Border Patrol unimpeded line of sight to interdict illegal crossers. We've been telling everybody for decades that the Texas-Mexico border already has a wall. It's a natural barrier. It's called the Rio Grande River. And if we were to spend a little bit more time taking care of that and utilizing that as an asset, that would also obviously enhance border security. The other aspect that we need to address and has to be part of the discussion is the fact that at the ports of entry, we need more personnel, technology, and up-to-date infrastructure that will enable our customs and agricultural inspectors to more effectively achieve their goals of stopping illegal trafficking while facilitating legitimate trade and travel. Part of our lifeblood is the commercial trade and traffic between our two countries and between Texas and Mexico. We have survived and we've succeeded as a result of NAFTA, and we certainly don't want to have that impeded as a result of this made-up or manufactured crisis discussion. The other part of the compact also includes the Border Security Act, which requires the hiring of additional customs inspectors and agricultural inspectors, which right now we understand that the Homeland Security is saying that we're over 4,000 officers short as we speak. It also finally includes our local Congressman, Representative Vela's bill to spend $4 billion to modernize our ports of entry. The commissioner has indicated for the Border Patrol, CBP, that much is needed just to get our ports of entry up to date. And obviously, that's something that we would wholeheartedly support. We support smart border security, but not ideas that scapegoat immigrants and make them the source of all evil and ills that's wrong with our country at this particular time.
Thank you very much, Judge, for a very detailed, very helpful answer. Operator, we're going to turn to media for questions now. Could you please explain how to queue?
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. If you do have a follow-up question, you will need to get back in the queue. As a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. And you do have a question from Samuel Leal with Phoenix Bureau of Cronkite News. Your line is open.
Hello?
Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask what you guys have made about President Trump's recent actions regarding DACA and whether, it's the right step would be to just terminate it entirely or to let it keep going, considering the substantial dislocation that it would deal to, thousands of DACA recipients here in the United States.
And who are you directing the question to, please?
Is Mr. Tony Estrada on the line yet?
He is not.
Okay, Mayor Jim Darling.
Yeah, I think we need a permanent solution to that. We have many DACA students down here, and we're educating them, college educations. They are either marrying American citizens or having American citizen babies, and, to prolong that and keep those people in relatively limbo for that is really damaging, I think, not only to the individual but to the country, because these are valuable people in the workforce and professionals, et cetera. And, almost the same thing with the asylum seekers when you have a 4 or 5 year gap between when they come across in their court hearings, a lot of things change for them too. And I just think, the delays cause individual problems. And also, I think from a national standpoint, it doesn't benefit anyone.
Thank you. And your next question comes from John Burnett with NPR. Your line is open.
Hi, this is for the mayor and the county judge. Thank you all so much for doing this. Just a simple question about the deployment of active duty troops. I'd like to hear from your points of view, gentlemen. Do you feel like, do you see these troops out there? What are they actually doing? And do you feel that they are useful or they're just a political show?
Well, I'll start off with that. And Tony, you can bring, they have limited jurisdiction. So what they did at our bridges, they put up concertina wire along the bridges and where you would have maybe a storm of people coming across. The difference between us and California is we already have, we have bridges. There's no land crossing, if you will. And so the only way that people could come across illegally, like for the caravans, was across the bridge. And so it's relatively easy to defend, and the U.S. government has very limited jurisdiction to do that. So, it would have been better, actually, if you really want to stop the problem, you should have sent social workers down to process the asylum seekers, because that's where the problems were. If you store them up on the Mexican side, it creates Mexican problems. The city of Reynosa across from us has no way of helping people from a financial standpoint of keeping the asylum seekers in their country. And so the whole issue was, asylum seekers storming the bridge. Well, one of the reasons they do that is it's only processing a few a day, keeping them in Mexico. So if you really were worried about orderly, the process for the asylum seekers, you'd send social workers and not soldiers. I'm not saying I was a military veteran, et cetera. I really appreciate them. I appreciate our military. I don't know if that was the best use, certainly, of sending them over there. The concertina wire they put up was relatively useful, but we could have, as bridge owners, we could have been required to do that ourselves.
This is Eddie Trevino. Let me follow up on what Mayor Darling basically said. From our perspective here in Cameron County, which is a neighboring county to Hidalgo, where McAllen is located, the concern has always been the attempt to manufacture and make something that just is not existent. We've had several times with the administration indicating that we're having a caravan of individuals coming up from Central America, and they're getting ready to, quote unquote, invade our country. It hasn't happened before, and it hasn't happened now. We certainly appreciate our military personnel, but as Mayor Darling stated, we think that there would be a much better use of them elsewhere as opposed to trying to politicize and use the military as a means to score political points on a problem or issue that is being manufactured solely for political purposes.
Thank you.
I might point out, you know, the military was in relationship to the caravan. Now, the caravan's a little different than the families and individuals coming in that they have activists organizing them. But as far as the number, which was reported, you know, 2,000, in the last couple of weeks, we've been getting a caravan or more a week in numbers, more than 2,000, sometimes 500 a day, being released to us from Customs and Border Protection and Border Patrol. So, you know, it's kind of a media creation again about the problems from the caravan that would require the military as opposed to really a CBP and a Border Patrol solution to processing people seeking asylum.
Let me follow up real quick, just along the same lines. What's very, very interesting, and we all know that we just had the quote-unquote end of the temporary government shutdown. The concern was the basis for the shutdown was border security. The reality was, as a result of the shutdown, it created a situation of potential border insecurity because you had federal law enforcement agencies, Border Patrol, Customs, and what have you, having to work without pay, number one, and number two, a lot of their support staff, whether it's administrative or otherwise, may have been furloughed or unavailable, cybersecurity, things of that nature. This shutdown was actually more harmful than the quote-unquote crisis that the administration keeps referencing.
Thank you, gentlemen. Operator, could you please remind reporters how to queue for questions?
And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. And if you do have a follow-up question, you will need to get back in the queue. And that's star and one to ask a question. And you do have a question from Kirsty Vandenchen with Cronkite News. Your line is open.
Hi, I'm interested to hear from all of you about what an effective border strategy would look like to halt drug circulation into the United States.
I'll take that one. I think that's at the bridges, you know, when the president came down and they had, there's no question there's a lot of drugs coming across the United States. But most of it that through ports of entries, not through the typical coming across the river or the border in between ports of entry. So, you know, I think part of what the president offered in compromise would work is, you know, more dogs are very effective, more people, more technology on the bridges, and more obviously more customs border protection officers on the bridges to protect that, in addition to more cooperation with Mexico in relationship to cartel activity and the drug smuggling business.
We, again, the Eddie Cervinio, Cameron County, we just recently, in partnership with the federal government, implemented an investment in one of our bridges, our Veterans Bridge, where we added additional lanes for commercial traffic, trucks, and in return, the federal government is bringing in two state-of-the-art X-ray machines, which will speed up obviously commerce and traffic, but will also allow them to get a better view of potential illegal activity that's going on at our ports of entry. All of the information confirms that 90% of the illegal drugs that come into our country come in through our ports of entry. So that ought to be the focus. The building of a concrete wall will not alter that at all, so we need to invest in our infrastructure at our ports of entry.
Thank you.
And you do have a follow-up question from John Burnett with NPR. Your line is open.
Yeah, again, this is for the Mayor and the County Judge. A quick follow-up. Have y'all's constituents been getting letters from CBP about condemning their land? And because I know that there is some wall construction from past appropriations that's ongoing. Is that happening in your areas?
I can't tell you that I've gotten a lot of calls or information, but we are aware from prior history that that's exactly what's occurred in our neck of the woods. Basically, we understand that the Border Patrol and Customs is looking to shore up those areas that have not been addressed with fencing, either with gates or things of that nature. That's my understanding. We do know that they're continuing, the federal government is continuing to look at and survey other potential locations. Again, the idea of a concrete wall barrier just doesn't fit with the reality on the ground here, and there are other better, more effective and technological means to address their intention.
Thank you. And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. And there are no questions at this time.
Okay, well, I want to thank our speakers this afternoon, Carlos Navarro of West Brownsville Baptist Church, Mayor Jim Darling of McAllen, Texas, and Judge Eddie Trevino of Cameron County, Texas. Thank you very much to our speakers and all who called in, and we wish you a very good afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.